With ballparks filling up around the country as pandemic restrictions ease, it's time to take me out to the ball game. Jeffrey Brown looks at a new exhibit on the long history of Latinos playing baseball and how they've changed it fundamentally in this country. It's part of our arts and culture series, Canvas.
Fenway Park in Boston, 2017. The flag of the Dominican Republic covers the famed outfield wall known as the Green Monster, a tribute to beloved Red Sox slugger David Ortiz. A deeply moving moment, even for baseball historian and lifelong Yankees fan, Adrian Burgos.
I cannot imagine a day when the flag of the Dominican Republic would be unfurled over the Green Monster. And it signaled a couple of really important things to me. One was the power of the game to help transform ideas and feelings about a community.
Today, Latinos born outside and within the U.S. make up some 30% of major league ballplayers, including some of the game's biggest stars, prominent in the recent All-Star game. But the long history of Latinos and baseball in this country is less known, and that's the focus of a new bilingual exhibition at Washington's Smithsonian Museum of American History. It's titled Play Ball, in the Barrios and the Big Leagues.
It's about how Latinos have been able to make a space for themselves.
This was a long time in putting together.
Curator Margaret Salazar Porzio wanted to capture the game at ground level through more than a century and what it meant to families and communities. Her team held a series of gatherings around the country to meet individuals and collect material for the exhibition. Some, like this high school letterman jacket, were then repaired by the conservation staff. Also here, a scrapbook using Life magazine. A stickball bat made from a broom handle. An old and very worn-in mitt.
We were hearing the same stories over and over again, whether you were in California or you were in Texas or you were in Florida. And so—
And those stories were?
Well, those were stories about family, about community. Those were stories about how, you know, my father played this game and he was an agricultural worker or he worked on the railroad, but he made sure to incorporate baseball into his everyday life. They were about women playing in the barrios, being able to play because maybe their team was sponsored by their local church. After a while, we realized that these hyper-local stories were actually part, they were microcosms of a larger kind of American experience for Latinos and Latinas.
A key point, Latino immigrants brought the game with them as far back as the 1860s, from longstanding traditions in Cuba, the Dominican Republic, Mexico, Puerto Rico, and elsewhere. Among many other examples, workers for sugar companies in Colorado's so-called Spanish colonies formed teams like the Greeley Grays. And the game gave them something more than a bit of fun in a country that was often unwelcoming in so many other ways.
Sometimes the networks that came out of baseball were networks that allowed them to find health care and to find services that they needed, to become part of their local churches or support local community centers and businesses. And so some of it was, yes, we can play baseball and we can become part of these larger communities. But then other times, they weren't accepted and they had their own community and they were fine with it,
And baseball is part of that identity.
And baseball was part of that identity, absolutely.
At the national level, there's the 1939 uniform of a young Marge Villa, who later became a star in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. And renowned game changers like Roberto Clemente, his San Juan, Puerto Rico uniform, his Pittsburgh Pirates helmet from 1960. And Fernando Valenzuela, the center of Fernando Mania, as a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers in the 1980s. But this is also a story of discrimination and the color line in baseball and America.
Roberto Clemente himself said about Latino players, particularly Black Latino players, we had two strikes against us. One because we're Black and the other one because we're Latin, we're foreign.
Historian Burgos, a professor at the University of Illinois, served as an advisor to the exhibition. and has written widely about one key figure, Orestes Mini Minoso, who starred in his native Cuba, in the Negro Leagues in the U.S. when blacks were excluded from Major League Baseball, and then with the Chicago White Sox when the color line was finally broken. Burgos is among those pushing for Minoso's accomplishments to finally gain him entry to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
He was a pioneering player, and the excellence that it took to excel, the persistence, the resilience, while the majority of the league was not yet integrated, while many of the hotels that the Chicago White Sox stayed in did not welcome black individuals. There was so much that Minoso had to deal with on and off the field. For him to perform at that level is what a Hall of Famer is.
Burgos and curator Salazar Porzio point to continuing problems. Lack of representation among managers and front offices, racism still heard in the stands. But also how Latinos have permanently changed the style, the look, even the taste of the game and ballpark, amid broader changes in American culture, including at museums themselves. Officials at the Smithsonian Museum of American History told us that all future exhibitions will have bilingual signage. This one, says Salazar Porzio, can help lead the way.
It shouldn't be so transformative, but for our institution, it is, you know, to have a fully bilingual show that was planned to be so from the very beginning, to have, the fundamental premise of it be that Latinos have changed, you know, this quintessential American sport, that is a transformative moment.
The exhibition Play Ball is on in Washington for the coming year. A smaller traveling version is in select cities around the country. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown at the Smithsonian Museum of American History in Washington, D.C.
So good to see all of this.